Hi, this is Carrie.
And this is Sandy.
And this is
Crime Bitches Countdown.
Do you believe in psychics? Would you be willing to extend belief if it helped you find a loved one? This week on Crime Bitches Countdown, we discuss cases that highlight some extraordinary psychic abilities that just might make you a believer. This week's topic, psychics who help solve crimes.
All right, so today I'm going to start out by telling you about Ashley Howley. Now, she was 20 years old. This was in June 2004. 911 received a call from her saying that her boyfriend, Robert McMichael, had assaulted her.
Ooh.
And then later that day, she went missing. So that's not suspicious.
No, like, not at all.
I couldn't find this information, and it really bothered me because she wasn't actually reported missing until about a month later by her mother. Now, I don't know if it was like, you know, maybe her and the mother didn't talk often. Maybe they only talked like once a week, and every time like she tried to get in touch with her, the boyfriend told her something. I don't know.
Right.
I could find nothing on why it took a month.
Right.
And trust me, I looked. Robert, the boyfriend, was obviously the primary suspect, but they didn't have any proof.
Other than the assault, she called in.
Yeah, well, but, and that's unfortunately alleged. Like, I mean, you can't even... That's an alleged assault. Like, nobody was arrested. There wasn't...
They didn't, like, come and take a statement or pictures?
I don't
think
so.
That's kind of crazy.
I don't know. I couldn't find a whole lot about that either.
Okay.
But, yeah. So, they found her vehicle abandoned in a parking lot. About a year later, a psychic named Christy Robinette said that she was asleep and the ghost of a woman woke her up. The ghost said she was murdered by her boyfriend or her ex-boyfriend, and that her name was Ashley.
Hmm.
So she didn't know what the hell this was about. I mean, like, she didn't know anything.
Yeah.
So she went on the internet, and she was like, let me look up Ashley's and boyfriends and see what I can find. And she found a picture of Ashley Howley that matched the ghost she saw. And she was like, that is the woman I saw. I know it. So she went to the police, and she said this was the first time a spirit had ever contacted her for help, that she hadn't reached out first. Investigators put her in touch with the family only after she was able to give a detailed description of the clothes that Ashley was wearing when she went missing.
Wow. How did they know?
I don't know. That's a really good question, because you would think if she wasn't reported for a month...
That you wouldn't know what she was wearing.
I'm not sure. I wonder if, I'm wondering if she had, they found her, like, a picture of her on CCTV somewhere that day or something
good
like
point,
that.
Yeah.
I don't know. So Robinette, the psychic, and the Hawley family, they went to a location that the ghost had described, and authorities couldn't dig there because it was private property, but they went and they were looking at it. 2008, Robert McMichael got charged with the murder of his mother and her boyfriend. So, he just went a little cuckoo.
Yeah.
In April 2008, because the property that they were going on to see where that, like she said, that's where the body was at the mother's house. So, once all this happened, it opened the door for them to be able to go search the property.
Yeah, because mom's dead, so.
So, of course, they found her on the property exactly where Robinette had said she would be. Her body was encased in cement.
Wow.
And Robert McMichael pled guilty to all three of the murders and got life without parole.
Good.
So that is the first one, which I think is kind of cool because it's not like a seance.
Yeah, I think it's kind of interesting that this Ashley's ghost came to this woman and said, hey, help, basically help me. What I do think is a little weird is, like, dude, what's your ghost doing for a year? Why did it take you a year to find somebody to help you?
Maybe she went to others and they didn't believe, like...
I mean, that's what I kind of wonder, like...
You do have to wonder about that kind of thing, like, where does it pop up out of nowhere? Why her? Why?
Why then? Like, I mean, if you go with the thought process that, okay, you're dead and then you turn to a ghost immediately, like... You were searching, you were just hanging out for a year before you wanted your murder solved?
Maybe she had some stuff she wanted to do, like, you know, relive her misspent youth.
Maybe.
As a ghost.
I don't know. Maybe she wanted to haunt people. Maybe she tried to haunt him first, and, like, it didn't work.
But this goes back to, and it's a controversial topic for this whole thing. Do you even believe? Now, you and I have talked about this tons of times.
Yeah.
And you do, and I'm questionable. So, when you have things like this, I start to think, maybe...
I was going to say, how do you, like, this woman just wakes up from a dead sleep, has the image of this chick, and knows what she was wearing, and just magically knows where she was buried? Just intuition? Seems a little too...
Science?
Okay, no science can explain that, first of all. But,
Did I ever tell you about the, who is the psychic, that guy, was it John Edwards? Did I ever tell you about the John Edwards thing?
No.
So, my family, my aunt and stuff, was really into John Edwards. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, these people are a joke. Like, who cares? So the one day she was like, you guys have to watch this video. You just have to, because you won't believe it. And it was a video of John Edwards. And he was talking to a woman about her family. And every single thing that he talked about matched my grandmother to a T. Nicknames, streets, like...
Wow.
Just all these things that came up. And then they pan the audience, and there's a woman that looks just like my grandmother. And I was like, okay.
That's weird.
That's a little creepy.
That's weird. Yeah.
It's a little too close for comfort. I don't know.
But I just, in these situations, like, how could this woman, assuming that you've ruled out that this woman knows anything about, you know, the family or whatever, assuming that's been ruled, I just don't know how she could know that information.
I question whether it's exaggerated.
Yeah.
But as you'll see in some of the other cases, some of them, you just have to... believe, I think, because there's no other option.
Right. I think it's a little extreme that this dude went, like, and put her in cement. Like,
yeah, that's actually common. I mean, you're trying to hide this thing. You know, that unfortunately, that's actually common.
Wow. Insane. But pretty cool. I hope that woman, one, I give that psychic woman, like, mad props, because I imagine it's not easy going up to police and being like, oh, by the way, I had a dream. Like, and basing everything off of that.
That's funny. You'll find out later in another case, which we'll cover, a woman did that and definitely was the suspect in the murder because
How could she not be? Exactly. How do you not, like, basically say, hey, look at me? Because the immediate thing is you're lying. I mean, cops, and I just assume that when cops and medical professionals are talking to people, they assume that most of what those people are saying are lies.
Well, and here's my other problem. You have psychics who tarot card readings and, oh my God, what was that one that you used to have? Like, remember there used to be commercials on TV for the Psychic Network or whatever?
Yes. And that popular black lady.
Yeah, I can't remember her name to save my life.
Me neither, but yeah.
But yeah, you have people who capitalize on people's grief and everything else. Some of them are tricks. Some of it is just reading people and looking for the subtle clues. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you start out by saying it's a name that starts with a J. Oh, maybe it's a G. So there are ways... Yeah, they can
there
do
are
it.
Commonalities. And I don't think every psychic that reports to be psychic is psychic.
No,
and personally,
not at all.
I don't believe it's something that you can turn on and turn off.
No.
Like, I don't necessarily think, like this woman, I don't think if she had sought her out, she might have been able to find her. I don't think it works. So the people that are using it for capital gain for themselves, I think more often than not are scams.
Yes, absolutely.
It's the people that aren't using it for their own personal game that I tend to have more faith in.
And a lot of these ones, what I was reading about with these cases is a lot of them didn't charge for their services for these and don't charge for their services for when they're helping in criminal investigations, which is awesome. But I feel like the people who capitalize are giving real people who have those connections a really bad name.
Right, exactly. And do you know of Edgar Cayce?
No.
Okay, so here's an interesting one, just a side note completely. Edgar Cayce, he was also known as the Sleeping Prophet. So Edgar Cayce had this innate ability to be able to diagnose people when he was in a sleeping trance. He had no medical background or training or anything like that, but he had the ability to put himself into a trance, connect with people, be able to basically scan their body, tell them what was wrong, and basically tell them how to correct it. There are volumes and volumes and volumes of the many, many times he did this. His wife documented every single time that he did it. He was also warned, he didn't charge for it, he was also warned that if he did it too frequently, that it would take a toll on his body. And they actually think, you know, he did use it a little too much, and it did overwhelm his body. And there's, you know, the thought that he died a little bit younger than he probably should have because he used this ability too frequently. But that's what he wanted. He just wanted to help people. But there's, I believe it's in Virginia Beach, that actually has basically the library of the volumes of all of his. And he talked about other things. He talked about the Akashic Records. He talked about, you know, Atlantis. There were other things that he talked about, and there are umpteen books written about all of the things that he would talk about while he was in trance. But the one thing he was really known for was being able to diagnose people psychically.
That's pretty cool, actually.
It is, because frankly, I think nowadays, and this is not to begrudge the medical community, but there are so many things, potential for, I think people kind of have to be their own doctors to a certain extent. They have to do their own investigations and what's going on in their body in order to lead the true doctors to your right diagnosis.
I think that's true in some cases, yes. Unfortunately, but I also think Google is your enemy.
I think for some reason it was a hypochondriac.
Yeah. All of a sudden you'll be dying from a brain tumor when you right. have like a bruise on your freaking arm.
Right, but for me, like, I'd been complaining about being tired for 12 years before I got diagnosed with narcolepsy. 12 years.
Yeah.
Before I was even tested for narcolepsy, before one doctor in Tennessee, thank you very much, finally, you know, and it was just a complete aside that he asked me about that, like, and I finally got tested and diagnosed and found out, yeah, I was.
Yeah, that reminds me of my sister, because for years growing up, she would get really sick, and she would always have these horrible stomach aches, and we all kind of were like, it's in your head, you're making mm-hmm. it up, like, it's your anxiety. And it was like, I don't even know, 8 years, 10 years down the road, and they diagnosed her with H. pylori, which is a really horrendous bacteria. And I feel like, I think she even might have turned around and been like, in your face. Like,
well,
I wasn't lying.
It's really sad because a lot of people do chalk things up to you. Like, I mean, narcolepsy, you're just lazy. Yeah, but I'm tired all the time. Like, I never feel rested. I never feel like I get any sleep, no matter how much sleep I get.
Yeah.
So people in this situation, even they could get the most horrendous diagnosis, and it's almost a relief to get a diagnosis, no matter yeah. how horrible it is, to know that you're not crazy and that it's not in your head.
Yep.
So anyway, that's my aside. Story two.
we might have to check out Edgar Cayce. I might have to yeah. do some reading he's, and research he's on that.
Very cool. Read about him.
All right. So moving forward.
Yes.
We're going to talk about Richard Kelly. Now, this one's a little bit short. I didn't have a whole lot of information. A lot of these actually are overseas. And one thing I noticed was a whole bunch of them are in England, which is interesting because I'm like, are they just more open-minded to it? Like, I wonder.
Well, I feel like Ireland in particular, they have a lot of lore. So I'm wondering, and you know, the fairy lore and all that kind of stuff. They very much believe in fairies in England. As real things, gnomes, brownies, that kind of thing. So I wouldn't be surprised, based on just proximity, that England would have the same, you know, propensity to lore and believe more in that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I thought it was just interesting. So most of these cases are overseas. So Richard Kelly, from Ireland, his nickname was Happy, which I think is just adorable.
That is adorable.
He was 17. He did have a 15-month-old son, so I believe it was a son. So he was a young father. He was last seen in April 2006. Now, police kind of thought, they tossed around some ideas, and one of the things that they really thought could have happened was that he was abducted by a local gang after he stole the car that they stashed their drugs in. he did have a number of convictions for stealing cars, so that wouldn't have been outside out of the realm of possibilities. And, it, you know, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Wrong car. He was last seen being driven in a car in Daly's Cross area, and his remains were found dumped in a lake 20 months later.
Whoa.
They were found in Law Bridget between Tola and Bodike. Now, this is important. Psychic Dennis McKenzie, who was from England, visited the family, came from England to Ireland. And on the first visit, took him to Coclare, and he said that the word dyke, the name Bridget, kept coming to him. Now, the mother thought maybe it was, her mother's name was Bridget, so she thought maybe that was it. But he was found in Low Bridget. So, and the Bodike.
Yeah, exactly.
So, kind of interesting. He also kept seeing concrete, like concrete blocks. Well, it turned out when they found the body that two concrete slabs had been tied to his legs. So, kind of interesting. That's really all I could find on it, which is kind of a bummer. I want to say this happened in, like, the 80s. No,
2006.
My bad.
So, not really that long ago.
Yeah, I guess because it's overseas, I couldn't find much. I don't know. They made some arrests, but I couldn't find anything about convictions or if anybody was actually fully charged.
Yeah.
So, unfortunately, I couldn't find a whole lot about this case.
Well, if they just found bones, there probably wasn't much left of him to, you know, kind of make a determination. Yeah. Obviously, if he had concrete tied to his legs, then he is probably drowned.
Yeah.
But did this guy just, like, take it upon himself to go meet the family, or did they contact him, or...
I don't remember now. I want to say he reached out to them.
Hmm. Interesting.
So, I honestly don't remember.
Well, at least he brought some peace to the family. Again, at the very least, even if you don't believe, they found the person, and now the family has a little bit of peace as far as they know where their loved one is, regardless. I mean, you know, despite the fact that they are no longer with them.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. So, the next one we're going to talk about is Andre Daigle. 1987 is when this happened. This was in New Orleans.
Ooh.
So, Louisiana. He was 27 years old. After, he worked as a carpenter. And on this day, which I don't know if I wrote down the day. I didn't, because I'm terrible. On the day that this happened, he, after work, he went to Chi-Chi's with his friend Nick.
I miss Chi-Chi's. Anyway, go ahead.
I feel like there's one near here.
Really?
I thought... Is it Chi-Chi's? No, it's Chili's.
Yeah, every Chi-Chi's. Chi-Chi's closed.
My bad. All right, so he went to Chi-Chi's with his...
Got me all excited.
I know, right?
Sorry.
With his friend Nick, and then they went to Mitchell's Lounge to shoot pool. Now, while they're at Mitchell's Lounge, there's a woman there. Because it's always a woman.
Of course.
Her name was Thelma. They hung out, they talked, they flirted, you know, whatever. So, at the end of the night, she asked Andre for a ride, and he said, sure. Andre took Nick home, dropped him off. Wait, maybe he didn't. Maybe they just left the bar. I'm lying to you. I think they just left the bar.
Okay.
So, Nick saw them leave together, and Andre didn't show up for work. Now,
suspicious.
Andre's boss was like, Andre always comes to work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when Andre didn't show up, he called. Police and reported
that's
him.
Really nice.
Now, his sister Elise lived in California, and she had gone to a psychic like 2 days before Andre disappeared, and just for a reading, just for fun, yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Well, after he disappeared, she went back, and she asked the psychic to help find her brother. Now, this psychic was named Rosemary Kerr. So Rosemary lived in California, obviously. Had nothing to do, didn't know anything about the brother, Andre, she, nothing, like, at all. So she says, bring a picture. So she does. Elise brings the picture. Rosemary takes it, puts it on the table, doesn't really even look at it, closes her eyes and starts rubbing the picture, which seems to be, like, a big thing. That's what they do. She said she kept getting a severe pain in her head as though she was being hit by a blunt object. She saw an image of a black truck with a scratch on it, which actually matched Andre's vehicle. That's what he had.
Huh.
She saw a person with long blonde hair in the truck as well. She moved her hand over a map of Louisiana. She said she saw a swamp a long low bridge over water, a sandy beach, and the number 7. And on the map, she put her finger over the town of Slidell.
Okay.
Okay, so the family is like, all right, well, we got nothing to lose, right? I mean,
seriously.
Police had not searched Slidell, so they started to go out that way. As they were getting to the 5-mile bridge, the long, low bridge, to Slidell, Andre's truck actually drove past them.
What?
Right? With 2 men in it that they didn't recognize. So, of course, they turned around and started following the truck. Obviously, they called police. Police got involved, chased down the car. The men in the car were Michael Phillips, who was 21, and Charles Gervais, who was 24. They were small-time crooks, petty thief, all that kind of stuff. Like, nothing major, no major crimes. At first, police thought it was just the car theft. They just took the car. But once they had arrested him, the men immediately confessed to killing Andre.
Wow.
Their reasons are fantastic. They wanted to kill someone just to know what it felt like, to see if they could do it. And they also wanted to steal a vehicle and money so they could buy guns. So, unfortunately, I'm thinking, wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
The thing is, they sent Thelma with her blonde hair, Thelma Horn, who was Philip's girlfriend, to lure somebody back to their place.
Got it.
So, she was at the bar specifically for that. When she got them back to the place, the two men took turns hitting him over the head with a hammer, so the blunt object.
Yep.
And strangling him with a vacuum cleaner cord.
Dang.
His body was found near a little strip of sandy beach. In a swamp just off of exit 7.
Wow.
And his body was stuffed in a sofa, which is just weird.
That is weird.
He had 11 fractures of his skull caused by a claw hammer. Rosemarie Kerr was actually called to testify at court, which was the first time a psychic gave testimony on a crime they helped to solve.
Wow.
I assume, like, that's not something that's going to happen very often because you have
Yeah.
But she actually was. She was called to testify, which is kind of cool.
That is impressive.
Phillips and Gervais pled guilty to murder. They were sentenced to life with no chance of parole. And Thelma Horn was convicted of second-degree murder and sentenced to life with no chance of parole.
At least they were all convicted. It's terrible that that guy, I mean, like, no offense, but in this day and age, and I realize this happened in the 80s, but, like, in this day and age, somebody asked me for a ride. Nope. Unless I know you. Nope. Because God only knows. I mean, just because they're a woman doesn't mean that they can't hurt you. Doesn't mean they don't have a gun, a knife, something.
Or a boyfriend waiting in the wings.
Exactly.
Because that actually happens more often than you might think, too.
Yeah. I'm not surprised. So,
people are awful.
What I think is interesting, of course, the first question I have is, her, you know, his sister went to the psychic 2 days before she didn't see that shit.
Right?
She didn't know that something was going to happen.
Like, maybe she did, like, you know how, you've gone to readings, I know you have.
Yeah.
And they're all like, a tragedy will occur to you sometime this year. Like, you never
they're
know.
They're like vague and shit. But it seems like her reading after she got the picture was pretty spot on.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, you know, why beforehand, especially only 2 days beforehand, didn't you feel anything? Didn't you see anything? Or, you know,
maybe it's only after the fact, or the spirit had to come to her.
Exactly. Kind of maybe it was the connection with the guy that's what gave her all the information. I don't know.
Again, it goes back to believing it. I mean, she picked on a map of Louisiana, a small freaking town.
And pretty significant details.
Yeah. It's kind of crazy.
It is kind of crazy. I just think it's crazy that there are people out there like those two guys that are just like, oh, I just want to see if I can. Like, that's not just something you try out.
No.
Killing people, not something you just try to see if you can do. I think, honestly, and people can disagree with me, you can disagree with me, I think in the right circumstances, anybody could do it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I agree.
Under the right circumstances. I mean, you'd have to be put under real...
But not for that reason.
No. Not just because.
Yeah. Anybody can be a killer given the right circumstances, whether it be protecting your children.
Exactly.
Or self-defense, or whatever. Exactly. There's always a right circumstance.
Yeah. But there are
a circumstance where you have the potential.
Yes.
But I think 95% of people will never, ever
go be that far. Put in that situation.
Right.
Yeah. No. Like, I'm not just going to go out and kill somebody just for the sake of killing somebody because, one, I have no desire, and two, I don't really, you know, there's no desire there. I don't want to do that. I don't want to take a life. I'm not judge and jury. I don't have that right. But if you threaten my family, if you threaten my dog, if you've got a gun to my dog, you think I won't step in front of her? I know my dog will only live, like, 13, 16 years.
But so cute.
She's my baby, and I will stand in front. I will take a bullet for
her.
They're
both so cute.
They are. The little one's a little bit harder to target because she's so small. But, yeah, anybody threatens my babies? Nope, nope.
And that's what I mean. Like, if somebody was threatening your child, a lot of parents wouldn't even hesitate.
Nope. I don't blame them. Next story.
Next story. This one's also short. We're going to talk about Mary Cousette. This took place in 1983 in Alton, Illinois.
Illinois.
I fucking hate my life.
it's a mispronunciation. Doesn't need to go that far.
Yeah. So she disappeared after leaving her home with her boyfriend, Stanley Holliday Jr. Stanley was arrested for her murder, but they couldn't find a body. And, you know, in the 80s, like, no body, no crime.
Mm-hmm.
Police actually called a psychic named Greta Alexander and asked her for help. She circled an area on the map and told police to search there. She also gave 22 additional clues, including things like her foot and her head would be detached. Whoever finds her would have a bad hand, and the letter S would be important. They found her in October 1983. She was found by Officer Steve True, there's your S, who had a deformed hand.
Wow.
She had been stabbed to death, her foot was missing, and her skull was found a few feet away from the rest of her remains.
What's the deal with her foot and her skull?
I think it had been a bit and she had decomposed.
Oh, so probably just animals?
I think so.
So do you think they got everybody on the police force with a bad hand and was like, go search!
Maybe. Like that... They're like, you're going to be the lucky one.
Yeah.
It's gotta be you they're talking about.
I mean, that would be me. I'd be like, is there anything wrong with your hands? You're going to go search. Like, as stupid as that sounds, but I would totally do that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. Just me. Like, how many people with deformed hands are there in the world?
Yeah.
Or at least on the police force.
It's really weird, but I know a couple people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. All right, so number five. We're going to talk about Allison Chadwick. Now, Allison was 10 years old. She disappeared from her home June 22nd, 1974. Hmm. Let me give you a little bit of background on the psychic for a second. The psychic who was involved, his name was Mike Baker. And his parents ran a meditation circle.
Cool.
When he was a child, he got involved.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at 23, he developed a link with his own spirit guide, who was an American Indian named Sukata.
Interesting.
Now, I read a couple of cases where they talked about spirit guides,
mm-hmm.
and then there's other ones where they don't necessarily have a spirit guide.
Mm-mm.
I think it's kind of an interesting take.
I think there's different ways that... Now, mind you, I do read a lot about this stuff. So there's different ways you can be psychic. You can just have the knowledge on your own, or you can have one or multiple spirit guides that kind of direct you.
Okay.
They say most people have spirit guides. It's just whether or not you're aware of them.
Okay, so it's possible that other psychics have them, but they don't necessarily know that that's what it is.
Correct.
Okay. So this was when he was 23. 10 years later is when Allison disappeared, so he's, like, 33 now. He got a message from Sukata while he was at work that just said, go to the police, because he knew what happened. Right. And so he was kind of like,
I do?
This is fucked up.
Yeah.
Like, what am I gonna go to the police and say?
My spirit guide says he knows what happened to some girl.
Right? What do you say? So he was real kind of leery about doing it, but it just felt, he felt so strongly that he needed to. So he went to the police station. He said, can I have a photo of her? Set me up in a quiet room, give me a cup of tea, and give me a pen and paper.
Hmm.
And he wrote down a whole bunch of notes while he sat in the room. Nothing happened right away until about a week later, Police came to his house and said he knew things only the girl and her mother would know. For example, he had described her underwear.
That's not creepy or anything.
No. Now, you know me, devil's advocate. I'm like, little kids, underwear. I mean, you,
exactly.
Kind of, but, like, they're all the same. Like, they're all the same general.
Well, they're flowery or colorful, yeah, or. So... Everybody has kid. Every kid has, like, day of the week underwear.
And, like, I say that, but then I think about my kids, and they have very unique stuff. Like, we've always bought them things that weren't just right out the...
Yeah, but this is now versus then. That was the 70s.
That's true. So, the underwear, I'm like, eh, you could guess that. He also had notes written down about a dog and a man she called uncle. And no one knew what that meant. Mm-hmm. No one had any clue. She didn't have a dog, so... Mike, the police were kind of doubting him. Right, and the fact that he could describe the underwear she had on was mildly disturbing.
Yeah, and suspicious.
And so they were, right, they were kind of eyeballing him, like,
yeah,
what's up?
Mm-hmm. Did you do this?
Right. Mm-hmm. So he said, let me invite them over, we're going to do a seance, and I'll prove to them that I'm the real deal. So he was able to give them information about another police officer who had passed away.
Aww.
And the officer who had passed away, I guess one of the guys had bought his car, mm-hmm. and so he was able to tell them all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So then they started to believe him. He asked in the seance who hurt Allison, and they actually gave him a name, and the name was Stanley Rogers. Told him about the car that was used, and it was parked at Chase Bridge Gardens, and it was red and gray colors. So police looked up Stanley Rogers because,
Why and
that's
not?
A pretty common name, too.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty generic. They found a Stanley Rogers, and they went to, who had a gray and red car, went to his house, knocked on the door, but it turned out it was the wrong guy.
Hmm.
So they were like, can we believe this? Well, they found out that there was another Stanley Rogers. So they go to him, and he had a gray car. But it turned out that the week before the murder, it was sprayed red.
Oh.
So that's why it had two colors.
Got it.
Allison would go to Stanley's house on Saturdays and walk his poodle, Ricky.
Dog.
Her mother didn't know.
What?
That I don't understand, but then again, 70s.
Yeah, but your kid's 10.
Dude, wow. Okay, let's talk about the 80s.
Okay, never mind.
Where were you when you were 10?
Okay, I get it.
So, I guess she called him uncle. There wasn't a whole lot of information about that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, her mother didn't know, which I don't understand, mm-hmm. like you don't, but I do think in the 70s it was a lot different.
Yeah.
I know we left the house in the 80s, and we would go down to the park and wander to our friends' houses, and as long as we were back by dark, it didn't matter.
Exactly. It's not like we had GPS.
Right. You would think it would be something that, like, she would tell her mom, but
yeah. Knows.
Stanley claimed after she walked the dog, he paid her and she left, and that she had never been in the house. But clearly that wasn't true. Her body was found February 1975, so about a year later, or like 9 months later. Her cause of death was undetermined, but Stanley wound up getting convicted.
Where, do they say where is she, they found her, or?
No, I couldn't find that information. I did read an article that said, Stanley's wife looked in the loft for the girl, and he was pissed off about it because, like, why would she be looking?
Mm-hmm.
And her point was, you know, she could have run up there and hid when he wasn't paying attention, and he got really mad because she suspected him.
Ah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm amazed that she didn't talk to her mom about, you know, walking this, and I'm just wondering how that exchange happened. Like, because at 10... I mean, I'm an introvert, so maybe I'm different, but, like, I wouldn't have gone up to some stranger's house and been like, can I walk your dog?
Okay, I'm, like, in my 40s, and I totally would do that. That's sad. I do it now. Like, can I pet your dog?
Can I pet your dog? Yes, I will pet anybody. If I see a floofer walking by, that floofer's mine. I will not go up to your house and be like, can I walk your dog? Because I feel like that's creepy.
It is. It is kind of weird, and you would think that, like, as an adult, if a child did come to me and say, can I walk your dog, I'd be like, we need to talk to your parents.
Exactly.
Like, your parents need to know what you're doing, why, and that there's nothing shady as shit going on.
Like paying the kid.
That's debatable whether or not he was. He said he paid her, but there was no proof that anything ever that he ever paid her.
Very, very strange.
Yeah.
So I'm glad his that's the other thing. Like, okay, so his psychic, his guy, spirit guy told him, like, where's a spirit guide that he gets all this information? Like, are spirit guides interconnected? Does he just, like, fuck off sometimes and go check things out and see what he sees and then bring back the information? Like, anybody with spirit guides want to explain how that works? I would love to hear.
Maybe it is, like, a network. Maybe they have, like, a Facebook and they post information, like...
That would kind of be awesome. Spirit board! Get it? That's where you post things.
God, you're so dumb. Oh, my God. No, but, like, no, it's a good point, though, because do they just know? Do they, you know, is it, like, an all-seeing type thing? Mm-hmm. Is it, like, they only see in their own area? Do they...
Like, I just wonder.
Yeah. And again, if there's multiple spirit guides communicating, why are they not telling their people? Why are they telling other spirit guides who are telling their people?
Well, that's a good... Well, let's just say, for instance, you have a spirit guide and I have a spirit guide. Obviously, we're not paying attention to those fuckers. Because we're... So maybe it's just a matter of who actually pays attention to their spirit guides.
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you right now, if I heard a voice in my head being like, go to the police, I'd be like, how about we fuck off? And that's not going to happen.
Well, I can tell you, for one, I do hear voices in my head. They've never told me to go to the police. In fact, they never usually tell me to do good things.
Now I have some concerns. Are the voices talking to you now?
No, not right now, but they were just like a minute ago.
I think maybe we can't hang out anymore.
No.
All right, so that'll conclude our first part, and we appreciate you guys listening, and talk to you soon.
Yep. Hope to see you back next week for part 2.
Bye.
Bye.